It's time for Making Democracy Work, a weekly program produced in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. Your host today is Lisa Langley.
The League of Women Voters encourages informed and active participation in voting. Therefore, it's always good to check in with our Greene County clerk, Mr. Shane Schiller, from time to time to get an update on what's going on. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Hey, thanks, Lisa. Good to be here.
Okay, so recently Greene County had an election where voters were able to mail in their ballot.
Yes.
Can you explain that system and when you allow voting that way?
That's governed by state statute, and that was a community improvement district election. And so, for example, a local entity like most oftentimes here in Greene County, it's going to be the city of Springfield. They create that district, and then a board from that is therefore formed, and then that board decides to put a question before the voters. And the way the statute reads is that they then send us the boundaries of the district, what the question is going to be. We then look to the boundaries to see are there any actual registered voters there.
Okay.
If there are, then we will mail all of the voters who registered inside those district boundaries a ballot, and it's prescribed to be done by mail. If there are no actual registered voters there, but there are property owners, then the property owners get mailed a ballot, and then they get to vote on the question.
Okay, so I'm curious, voter turnout, how is it in those types of elections?
Well, normally when it's property owners, it's 100%.
Okay.
For example, we had one that was back in December of 16 for the Springfield Plaza Community Improvement District, and there were 6 votes total for that, and it was, 6 yes. We had the Glenstone Marketplace Community Improvement District election back in September 15, and there were 2 property owners, and so in that case,
wow. Okay, so this isn't a huge number of people voting.
If there's no registered voters.
Okay.
But then take, for example, we just did the one for the commercial street CID, for example, and I believe we had 78 voters there. We had a total of 20 ballots that were returned, and the margin was 16 to 4, 16 yes in favor of the proposal and 4 no.
Okay.
But then in August of 16, we had the downtown CID question. We had a total of 664 voters there. We had 99 ballots cast, which was a 15% turnout. But then take, for example, this last year in July of 18, we had the Southern Hills question for a CID that had been formed there. And we had 631 registered voters, 366 ballots returned for a 58% turnout.
Good for you, Southern Hills. Yay.
Yeah, and that there was a lot of folks that were engaged in that, contacting their neighbors, letting them know what the question was so that if they wanted to vote on that, they could. And so a lot of it depends upon the active participation of the people within the district.
So you've used, your office has used central polling locations for the last 2 elections.
Yes.
How have those gone? How's that worked out? Have voters responded positively to that?
I think we've had a really positive response from the voters. We have learned, for example, in the busier elections that we're not just going to use the ballot marking devices. We're going to have some pre-printed ballots there, too, because it takes longer in the bigger elections to go through the electronic screen that they're voting on before that ballot is printed. The good news is that they've been so successful that Mercy Hospital reached out to us earlier this year, and they said that they would like to participate.
Wonderful.
As well. And so we will have Mercy Hospital, Cox South Hospital. Of course, we have the CU Transit Center that is part of that, and then, of course, at Missouri State University there at their Welcome Center, and then they can always come to the courthouse, and that's a central polling location,
right,
too.
So speaking of polling locations, this time next year you'll have wrapped up a presidential primary and be heading into a presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
How are you preparing for that election now, and what should voters do now in order to be ready to vote next year?
Well, one of the biggest things that we do as we prepare for an even numbered year elections is that we do a canvas of the entire county, which means that if you're a registered voter and we currently still have you registered at the address that you registered under, we're going to send you your voter ID card. We actually plan months before that. For example, we'll contact the local post office, get the national change of address, see if any of the people we have registered have already changed addresses. we begin to contact them in the months leading up to January of next year before we begin to send everyone their new voter ID card. And so the reason I bring that up is if you know you have moved and you haven't contacted us, this is a great time to contact our office, come to the courthouse, go to the local library, for example, and just update your voter registration.
That cannot be done online. Is that correct?
They can do it online. Absolutely. Okay. They can still go through the Secretary of State's office and be able to do that, or they can come to the Greene County. We have an online application form. That one is printed and mailed to us. The one with the Secretary of State's office, that one is actually done electronically. And so it can be done online. And those are for current registered voters, but they can also be for someone who's new to Greene County. But we're mostly talking about address changes because that oftentimes on Election Day, for example, we had, I think, 8,000 address changes in 2016 on the day of the election.
Yeah.
So you can imagine in each polling location how much time it takes to be able to walk that person through that process.
Okay. And at what point will you kick someone off?
The law governs that. That is not something decided by me. So say, for example, after we mail out the information in terms of your voter ID card for the canvas, if that card comes back to us, we then start a process to try to locate you in terms of getting an updated address for you. If we cannot locate you and confirm that you've moved, et cetera, or you haven't moved and you return that information, then basically the law says that voter becomes inactive, even if they haven't moved, for example, but the voter ID card bounced back for whatever reason. At that point, they have the next two federal elections, which is essentially, you know, almost a four-year period, depending upon when that happens with the voter, that they can update their address before the law says they have to be removed. But that's federally governed. That's not something decided by our office.
Okay.
That's the federal law governing that.
Okay. So moral of the story is make sure if you move, you update your address with Greene County Clerk's Office, and you
Absolutely.
Can do that.
Yeah. And it makes your Election Day experience so much better.
Absolutely.
That's what we try to remind folks.
Thanks so much for joining me this morning. My guest has been Shane Schiller, Greene County Clerk. For more information on voting registration, go to their website, the Greene County Clerk website. This and other Making Democracy Work programs can be found at ksmu.org. Thanks for joining us.